about holding a big enough stick to keep the other guy away. It's not peace, it's simply a lack of fire. And isn't that why we still call it a cold war and use the word war in it? Not that wonderful period when there was real peace between the United States and the Soviet Union and there was not one war between them. In some ways, there's very good reasons why Old Testament kings were told not to put their trust in chariots and horses. Because real lasting peace is more about more than possessing the most powerful instruments of war available. And so today we come to the sad Sunday of peace in Advent. What does it really mean to call this the Sunday of peace? Are we to presume that our God, that our Lord, as Jesus called the Prince of Peace, is simply stronger, simply more powerful, that all evil is kept at bay by the force of his arms? So I won't deny that at times evil needs to be restrained, but evil intentions are never entirely undone simply by holding the bigger stick. Really, biblical peace, it has very little to do with simply an absence of war. When the Bible speaks of peace, it's usually a translation of the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is potentially a word that you've heard before. And you know that it has to do with peace. And of course it has to do with peace, because if it didn't, why would Bible translators the world over be translating shalom as peace? However, peace is understood as a peace treaty, as an end to a war. It's only a small part of the meaning of shalom. Shalom can be used as both a greeting for people and to say farewell, and it's certainly more than saying, I hope we don't get into a fight. According to Strong's Concordance, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It means far more than there's not going to be war. There's a lot packed into that word that doesn't come to mind what we normally hear when we first simply say that there is peace. Health is part of peace. Prosperity is part of peace. Rest is part of peace. The more abstract ideas, the fullness and perfection that are part of this shalom, this peace. It's much more than an absence of discord. Well, last week we began looking at the story of Naomi as told in the book of Ruth. And it can be fairly said that in that first chapter, Naomi lost her shalom. She lost her peace. Her world was ripped apart. Her husband and two sons had both died, or all died, as her two sons. She was left as a stranger in a foreign land with nothing to really call her home. And so she returned empty. The opposite of full, one of those other definitions of peace. She was a person who had no real security at this point. Her welfare is up for grabs. What she does have is the first seeds of hope at the end of that first chapter. Because she has Ruth, whose name means friendship, who will stick close to her through this valley of shadows, and Naomi is glad to have her. Now, I'm not going to try to claim that in the second chapter Naomi finds all of her peace returned, and that shalom comes in full force. But I dare to suggest that we see some very practical elements of that sort of biblical peace beginning to work out. Because there's some very practical physical dimensions to biblical peace. There's no peace when the body is hungry. There's no peace without a place to lay your head. And Ruth Now you may partially say I'm just not a careful enough picker, and there might be some truth to that. But I'd also say there's some truth to the fact that when you begin to follow a longer chain, your eyes just simply jump to the most obvious next thing, and it moves you along at a good pace. And if you were careful enough to look under every leaf, under every nick, under every piece of straw, yes, you may catch everything, but it would take you an awful lot longer to work your way down the road, and it would take you an awful lot longer if you ever fill a basket with berries. In other words, you lose too much efficiency if you make sure you get everything.
Peace, it has something to do with practical needs being met.
There's not going to be any peace for Ruth and Naomi when they don't have a meal with her. There is no restful peace that can come until Boaz is going to soon do more than simply not let them suffer. Because Boaz does go beyond simply letting her be. He orders that stalks get pulled out of the bundles from his own harvesters, that Ruth is going to find more than the lost people require to be left for the poor. Generosity that he can give out of his own abundance. We may not always feel like truly prosperous people who are so abundantly prosperous that we can fix the world's problems, because, well, the problems of the world, they can seem very large compared to our needs. I've read that $13 billion can provide clean drinking water for every man, woman, and child on earth. And not many of us seem to have that kind of thing just lying around in their bank account to use. That same source, though, pointed out that the Canadian Christmas spending can reach $35 billion.
Help us see too where you have given us wholeness already.
people who, as we